So when you come to church, do you expect to mostly hear what's wrong with you or what's right with you? What do you think? What's your gut feeling about that? And what about in general for someone who's not a part of church or just not here today, as the case may be? What do you think the general impression of church is out there? That church focuses on what's wrong with people or what's right with people? Well, my gut feeling is that generally people think of church as a place where you'll hear more about what's wrong with you than you'll hear about what's right with you. And that's an impression that often sours people from the church. Well, so maybe that's their problem. If you can't deal with facing your faults, then so be it. We can't sugarcoat things here just to be nice, right? But maybe, instead of that rather defensive-sounding response, what if we tried something different than reinforcing the picture of churches being mostly about what's tracking, what's wrong and right with people? Tried something about faith that speaks into life in a different way. I want to tell you about a scene from a movie from 1991. Remember way back then? Some of you better than others. It's a movie called Grand Canyon. Anyone see that movie? It's a really good movie. And even though I saw it way back then, I saw it in the theaters. I've seen it several since time on video. And it made quite an impression on me, especially the opening scene. Despite the name of the movie, Grand Canyon, it's set in Los Angeles. And this is downtown Los Angeles, late at night, and there's this wealthy white lawyer. He's a little bit older, and he's driving through, and his car breaks down, and we're made to see that it's a rundown neighborhood that he's in. And while he waits for a tow truck, he's confronted by some African-American gang members, and violence seems inevitable. There's all these currents of class and race and violence and stereotypes. They're all flowing strongly through the scene. And then a tow truck arrives, and an African-American tow truck driver steps out to do his job, but first he must talk to the gang leader, and this is what he says. "Man, the world ain't supposed to work like this. Maybe you don't know that, but this ain't the way it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to be able to do my job without asking you if I can. And that dude is supposed to be able to wait with his car without you ripping him off. Everything's supposed to be different than what it is here." And then the story goes on from there, dealing with all those layers of race and class and fear and violence. And I think it's all in conversation with what I think is some profound tow truck driver theology. This ain't the way it's supposed to be. Do you hear the theology in that? It asserts that as we look at our lives and our world, this isn't just the way it is or the best we can do. No, this is not the way it's supposed to be. Instead, life is created and possible to be something full and fruitful rather than fractured and fatal. See, that's different than starting with what's wrong with you or what's right with you. It has a very different energy. It's a place of yearning that it starts with. It's grief and hope together that has a desire for thriving and community and connection. It's a statement of faith to look at life and say, this ain't the way things are supposed to be. So with all that in mind, I want to take a look at these scripture passages, in which you could say that there's a lot of talk about what's wrong with people. Look at Acts. Peter tells the crowd in no uncertain terms, "You killed God's servant Jesus, choosing a murderer over the author of life." This is not exactly a crowd-pleasing sermon that Peter gives there. But I was struck by a remarkable word in that Acts passage. After Peter says all that, what he says to them is, "Friends." That's what Peter calls this crowd who has killed Jesus. Now, there is no way that I think you could have predicted that that's what would come next from Peter. Maybe he would say people, he probably would say sinners, but he says friends. Friends, you and your leaders didn't know what you were doing. God used what happened in Jesus to show that there's a different way. You can turn from sin to life. It's really a remarkable invitation from Peter. And it's done not in a setting of judgment. Remember, this is done in the context of a man who has been healed from his brokenness. Peter says that all the violence and brokenness that coalesced around the life of Jesus, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Jesus is the author of life, and we want you to join us on that path of life, of the way that we are created to be. How about 1 John? What do we see there? You could see a lot about what's wrong, talking about sin and lawlessness, about who's righteous and who's doing what's right. But what grabs my attention is this. Through God's love, you are children of God. We're in a world that does not center itself in that identity of love and connection to God, that veers from God's intention for life, for love and community among one another. And that's not how it's supposed to be. What could you see in Luke 24? You could hear Jesus speaking to what's wrong with his disciples, the fear and the doubt present there. They don't know how to make sense of their Lord who has died and now appears alive. So you could hear Jesus speaking to their misunderstanding, their deficiency in understanding Scripture. But what grabs my attention is that greeting. Peace be with you. That greeting heard again and again from the risen Christ. Peace, shalom, life, hope, fullness, peace, shalom. As Jesus is present to those fearful, joyful, disbelieving, believing people, he is among them as peace, the embodiment of how God made life to be, the way it's supposed to be. That Luke passage concludes with Jesus telling his followers that they will be his witnesses. And I think what I'm saying today is that an essential part of our witness is to proclaim this ain't the way it's supposed to be. It's a witness of yearning and of hope, of honesty and purpose. And in our place and time, in our world, I think that's an especially important witness for us to have because there are voices in our world that speak very differently. They speak with cynicism and despair. They speak from indifference or from fear. And in the midst of those voices, we are a witness that this is not how God created things to be and that there is a different way. A way like this. A faith that even in the midst of fierce truth speaks of one another as friends, even our enemies. A faith that speaks of one another as children of God, created to live in love and goodness and hope. A faith that receives peace as the greeting of our lives each day. Shalom as the blessing from God to us, a blessing for us and our world, the abundance of life for all, to believe that. What if that's what you expected to hear about when you came to church? What if that's the reputation that church had in people's minds, a place that speaks to the human yearning for hope, honest about our fears and our faults, and courageous in our purpose? I suppose that such a church would still speak a lot about right and wrong, but it would do so because the choices we make matter to our witness that is rooted and expressed in shalom. Did you notice in that story from Acts, Peter offers a remarkable name for Jesus, the author of life. It's the only time it's ever used in all of Scripture, I checked. I think it's so beautiful and so powerful. And it's the reason that not how it's supposed to be is a yearning that draws us toward hope. Because the author of life has a very different story for our world. The living word through whom creation itself flowed into being now speaks a new creation, peace. Spirit of the risen Christ present among us to author wholeness, healing, righteousness, community, love, hope, peace, shalom, true life. What if the reputation for the church was that it was a community created and blessed by shalom from the author of life? A place that connects to our yearnings for something more. A place where we can be honest about our brokenness. A place to know ourselves loved as children of God and others too. A place to be nurtured in righteousness and peace. For those of us who know that this is not the way the world is supposed to be, the author of life hosts us at this table to be a part of a community created in peace, in shalom, in life. To witness that true life still today is being authored in us and through us and around us in God's world. And we are witnesses that that's the way it is. Thanks be to God. Amen.